to the hip hop, the hip, the hip, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Joining me in studio, we have, this is going to be an interesting day. Because I am outnumbered politically in this environment. I love that. Two good friends. I have Myra Van Hoos and I have Travis Peterson. And you guys promise not to gang up on me too much? It's going to be okay?
No. We don't promise that.
No promises.
This is like all of my Democrat friends who listen to the show, you know, and they're like, oh, finally, give it to them. Give it to them. Take them to task. Teach them what's going on. Make them be right. What they may not know, I was actually raised by liberals. You know, raised by wolves. I've been on every side of every issue, pretty much, if you can name it. I have held the view opposite of what I held now. So, you know, I see the range. I see the range.
Are you house trained too?
Ask my wife. I don't know. All right. You know, sometimes you got to check. You can't assess that for yourself.
This is good.
True. All right. So, welcome. By the way, good to have both of you back. Let's start with something that it just I have been. Every once in a while, I feel guilty about talking about something too much on a day, but I just don't think you can talk about this too much. The hearing in the Senate yesterday about Instagram and the danger of Instagram, mm-hmm. especially for kids. Now, I say for all people. If social media is bad, Instagram is the worst because it is catering to all of the things that are the worst about social media. And I know people love their Instagram. Okay, fine. We can talk. But for kids especially. You know, it was great, frankly, to see Republicans and Democrats 100% in agreement. Oh my God, what are you people doing to our youth? So, as you know, parents, what do you guys think about that for kids? Apps for kids, social media for kids, Travis?
You know, my wife and I, we've struggled with it. Our kids are teenagers. I have a teenage son and an almost teenage daughter, and we struggle with that. It just takes a lot of vigilance. And the problem is the technology, as soon as I think I've got it figured out, we've got a good sort of program in place to kind of manage it for our children, the technology changes. And so it's scary. There are things that they learn and have to deal with and frankly ask questions about that we never had to do growing up because it wasn't right there in our face. But particularly the data about how it influences kids' self-image is really, really troubling.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It influences the self-image of adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Facebook is a party pick place, and it's just about everyone else missing out on your great life. So I think a lot of people got on it 10 or 15 years ago and got off because they're adults.
Yeah.
Children don't get that. They can't separate what's good and what's bad as well. And it took us 10 years, so.
And it's, you know, look, I use social media for work because it's a form of communication. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of information from social media. But I don't, the other aspects of it, it's so poisonous. For example, I find with myself, I make something that's a post, right, that I think is going to be informative or entertaining or whatever. And what do you want to do? You want to go see how many people liked it. Did more people like it? How many people liked since the last time I checked? How many little red notifications am I getting? Did they share it? Did they share it a lot? What did they say when they shared it? You know, how many followers do I have? Do I have more followers than the other person? I am fairly healthy psychologically, fairly well-grounded in my beliefs and my faith and my position in the world, 50-year-old. If I have those things, and I do, how much more neurotic and psychologically addictive are those things for the 15-year-old trying to navigate the universe of peer pressure and uncertainty and hormones and all of it, you know?
Absolutely.
And
but here's the question. What do we do instead to advertise? So somebody like the radio station or political candidates are always putting their stuff there because it's an easy place. Any nonprofit puts their events there. And so you want to use it as a tool, but you don't want to promote the whole notion of social media.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, it's good to see some bipartisanship on the issue, because just like here at the radio station, you have regulations. FCC regulates things mm-hmm. you say and can't say. There's none of that for social media, whether that relates to misinformation about vaccines or political candidates or what a 14-year-old child should look like or mm-hmm. act like. And so I think there's got to be some real thoughtful kind of, you know, attempts to get our arms around this whole new platform that's basically the Wild West for information.
And, you know, we've got rules about things like on television, you know, Ed Markey. Mm-hmm. And so I know I've found bipartisanship when I'm cheerleading for, you know, Richard Blumenthal and Ed Markey.
Right, you know? Right, exactly.
And when they're saying the stuff that I would say, I know we've found common ground.
Yeah.
And so when I hear them talking about this and, like, you cannot have a TV host of a program turn around and endorse something because, you know, to kids, for kids marketing, which is true. And he's like, at the very least, can you promise me you'll do that with your influencers? Well, you know, we'll look at it. I mean, if you don't know the answer right. to that, you shouldn't be in the hearing already.
There's so much money going through those social media companies. Crazy. It's mm-hmm. it's literally become the cash cow for them.
And the thing that I think, like a lot of things, is the stuff we get worked up on this topic over is, you know, crime, human trafficking, bullying, body imagery. Okay, it's not that those are not concerns, but I think you're really seeing the trees and not seeing the forest when you focus on that stuff. Because even if they're going to good pages, good people, good, it's still the thing. The thing itself is the problem. And the analogy I always use is, you know, not to compare them, but they are the same. Is, you know, pornography is not only about whether you should be looking at naked people. It's about what that does to your expectations of the real world and your ability to be satisfied by real people in the real world who are wrinkly and have their ugly spots and are real people, and you find it impossible or difficult to, you know, and same thing. You see reality through the lens of social media. Nothing in the real world measures up. And so what does that do to kids and to adults too?
I mean, women have dealt with this in magazines for
right
many more years than social media has been available.
Right.
It's the same issue, but exponentially larger.
I'm just watch kids on their phones. It's creepy. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Watch them. I remember one time I was working on a national broadcast, and we had hired a new kid, and he was like 22. And here his job is to run a national broadcast, run a national radio show. And he can't stop himself from getting out the phone and scrolling and seeing what's happening while he's supposed to be running a broadcast on 400 stations. And I, you know, we'd say, hey, man, you got to put your phone away. He couldn't. He literally could not put it down. It was such an extension of himself. 843 on News Radio, 92.3 and AM 1620. It's The Wrap. We talk about stuff that's going on this week. All right. The big bills.
Uh-oh.
This is the time.
Here, like, it comes.
We've got our common ground. We've got our agreement out of the way. We did get a temporary spending, so, you know, no government shutdown. Yay. Anyway.
Way to go, Nancy.
I thought we'd be
Pelosi.
Talking about shutdown Saturday tomorrow. Yeah,
exactly. But we're still waiting on a solution for the debt ceiling and, of course, the open question of $1 trillion here, $3.5 trillion there. For which project? Is infrastructure, is human infrastructure even a thing? So I'll give you guys your say. Let's first talk about the debt ceiling stuff. Should we even have a debt ceiling? Is it a ridiculous concept anymore? I mean, Myra?
I mean, I think that we should. And so this comes back to, am I really a liberal? What does that word mean? I told you I was a moderate. I definitely think there should be a debt ceiling. So I'm going to let
Travis
answer.
Even if all we
answer.
Do is just raise it every time we get close to it?
Well, let's not do that, Andrea.
Amen.
I mean, that's the whole point.
I totally agree.
Let's not put
ourselves in that position.
It doesn't make sense that we don't budget like every other human has to.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents. Go ahead, Travis. Rip it up.
I think the notion that anybody in Washington on either of the political parties actually cares about the debt ceiling is just mm-hmm. a silly idea. Both parties have thoroughly thrown out the notion of fiscal responsibility, whether it's tax cuts that blow the budget or spending that blows the budget. It's just a political ploy. It doesn't mean anything. It's frankly pretty cynical for either party to be talking about it.
Well, that's actually true, but still, that's not the lofty ideal.
And no, it's not. No, that's exactly right. So, but yeah, should we have I have to manage, you know, my finances, my household does, y'all's do, the business here, you know, News Radio has to.
Right. It's like the parent, right? The parent that says, if you keep doing that, I'm going to do something. Right. You keep doing that, you know, there's a timeout coming or there's a spanking coming. And you just, every time they do it, you don't, you just threaten the thing and then you don't actually do it.
Well, then at some point, there's not going to be any more debt for us to get.
Come on. There's always more debt we can sell.
Yeah, just print more money. Print more money. Keep going. Right. Keep going.
845 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This feeling inside my bones, it goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home, we're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket.
I mean, you have to let it get to that point. You have to let it get to that point.
You gotta get the feeling.
848 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I've got Travis Peterson and Myra Van Hoos in the house. Who's in the house?
Van Hoos in the house.
I'm not going to ever
and
say that
Peterson,
again.
On the radio. Doesn't quite work the way.
I didn't generate a buzzer out of Jenna, so it must not have been so bad, but that's okay. So it's the wrap when we talk about the things that have been going on this week. This week, I did an interview yesterday with Wes Moreno. He is the interim county administrator. And this was part of the topic I wanted to talk with him about was what came up last week in the budget meeting, which was when Commissioner Underhill made the comments, hey, you know, we got a $500 million budget. How much of that are we spending on new roads? Nothing. We got a $500 million budget. How much are you spending on new, stormwater management? Nothing. And so we got all this money that we're spending on all this stuff, and none of it's going to the basic infrastructure that we're supposed to be spending it on. And the other commissioners disagree because they say things like, you know, the labor pool for the people who are going to do the maintenance, for example, or things that come out of the CRA or whatever. And obviously LOST, okay, is going to fund these things. But his basic point was, we used to pay for this stuff out of general revenue, and then we added LOST on the premise that we would add projects. And what's happened over the years is, it's true, we do more projects, but we've eliminated funding them out of the general budget. That's not what the voters voted for. And sure enough, nobody shows up to the budget hearings. The only people who show up to the budget hearings are the people who are asking for the money for the outside agencies.
Right.
Frankly, that's who shows up. Nobody cares. Nobody else cares. And we talked to Wes Moreno yesterday about this, and it's even worse than that. We're understaffed. We're at low budgets. We're at the budget or below that we were in 2002, and we're missing people in those components. It's crazy where Escambia County is at in terms of infrastructure spending and maintenance. In Santa Rosa County, they're pitching a fit all the time, and they're getting things done because the people show up to the meetings, angry, demanding change. Is the situation bad? Are we going to see a tax increase? What needs to be done? How do you get people to care about budget stuff?
It's got to be relevant. I think what happens over in Santa Rosa is you see folks who are engaged in the process. They're having traffic problems. They're having flooding problems. Not that we don't have those same issues here in Escambia County, but either they're not severe enough, or potentially the folks that it's affecting, which may be the case, aren't able or in a position to where they can engage in the process. But yeah, I mean, it's a real problem when you drive through some of the parts of our county and you see places that are constantly flooding. The city has some similar issues too.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the lottery for education. Remember?
Same analogy
Do the lottery. So we're going to fund education, and then basically the lottery becomes the only revenue stream, not a supplemental revenue stream.
Right. And, you know, did you really get the point of the thing you were sold when that's the case? No. I mean, no, that's not it. Myra, any?
Well, I mean, who has the answer to the general apathy of the voters at all? Because you're right. The problem is the public isn't coming in to discuss the budget. And you're right. The only people that show up are people asking for their own little projects.
The distribution, right.
So.
And look, I'll admit it. I don't like thinking about budgets. I don't think I'm particularly good at it, even though I'm pretty good at math.
I love thinking about budgets.
But but I see the big takeaway problems. And, you know, the county's doing better. It's giving raises to the Department of Corrections, to the firefighters, to EMS, to the sheriffs. All good stuff. Okay, it's not like everything is calamity and sky falling, but I drive these roads. You know, it's not all that impressive. You know, it's not the workers' fault. They're doing the best they can.
And the county actually has a pretty decent process in place. You know, we all know when budget season is. We all know when we can show up for it. We all know what they're talking about when. So it comes back to the apathy of the public. And I do not have an answer for that, or else I'd have a whole lot more women elected to office. So.
And to be fair, there aren't any women on the county commission. So
exactly, my point.
Not saying anything.
But there's only been, what, Karen Sindel is the only one who has run, I think, in the time I've been here, I think. And now we did have Janice Gilley, mm-hmm. who previously was a commissioner.
I think we had Audra Carter ran mm-hmm. for
maybe
county
you're right.
commission one
yep.
time. I don't know.
I think part of the challenge on infrastructure is those are big long-term projects, and when you govern in sort of short-term increments, mm-hmm. or you know, a lot of the elected officials think in terms of 2 or 4 year cycles, it's hard to kind of make those long-range plans and stick to them.
Should it be 2 years? I mean, I think it should be 2 years.
County
commissioner should be every two. If we can elect representatives in the U.S. Congress every 2 years and state representatives every 2 years, I just don't understand the 4 year term for county commissioners.
Oh, I think 2 years is way too short. I think it puts you in a constant campaign mode.
If you look at
Congress, but then every decision becomes a political decision.
Okay,
that's a good point. But I mean,
isn't that responsive?
It is responsive. So if you have to campaign constantly, you theoretically should know every constituent. It's not about picking up the phone and asking the corporations for money. It's about knocking on doors. So the process has changed, and because they're not knocking on doors, it's all about raising money. So then I would agree with you, 2 years is too short. But you see my point? Theoretically,
the
they should be knocking on doors all the time.
What about the recall? You think that's, I mean, I don't know why we don't have a provision to recall, especially if you got 4 year terms.
In the city, they do.
Right, okay.
Right, under
but
the new charter.
County level, mm-hmm. county.
Correct, no.
Well, the county needs a charter, first of all, and then put a recall provision in it.
Well, they're working, like Recall Florida is working on this too, right? I mean, they're pretty active in trying to get this. But again, in order for a recall to get in place, and then of course to get accomplished, people have to be angry enough, which means they
Correct.
Have to care enough, to know enough, to become concerned enough, to get enough people motivated to actually make those votes happen. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's The Wrap. I'm Andrew McKay, Myra Van Hoos, and am I saying it right? Who's her house?
Hoos.
It's okay. I had it right.
It's
but
hard.
She's in the house.
Don't do it again. Travis, don't say it. All right, Travis, I know. See, I actually don't know where Myra's at on this, but I know where Travis is at on this. If we don't talk football for at least a
All
minute.
All right. Yes. Yes.
Good Lord. Yeah. No.
Okay, so we found.
My son played football. I watched all that.
At where?
Growing up.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then, so as a mother, I was scared for a few years.
Okay.
You know, the whole time. And then my husband is like a football crazy person for Oklahoma.
He's not a crazy person.
Yeah.
He's normal.
It's called an avid
and you
fan.
You are emotionally callous.
That's it.
You don't
that's
know how
it.
To invest in something over which you have no control, like
Just
a football game.
Just my husband and my son, right? But I did go to high school in Puerto Rico, and they did not have football there. So I didn't
really?
Get the bug. That's the problem.
All right.
You need to
you
catch
weren't
the bug
properly
in high school.
Enculturated with...
Enculturating?
Yeah.
That's a big word.
Ooh.
Thanks.
That's a liberal word.
Well, hey.
That's what we do.
Conservatives have
don't
big
we,
words, too.
Don't we enculturate
no,
people?
Y'all
Isn't that what
up,
we're trying to do?
Y'all make up new words and then tell us that the old words are evil. I mean, come on. That's...
Like, remember when liberal was a good word? Like, liberal use of cream cheese on a bagel?
I remember when vaccine was a good word.
That's so true.
So, yeah, Auburn goes to LSU.
And we're ranked and they're not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's like, who knows? It's crapshoot. We'll see.
Is FSU going to win a game this year? I mean, I'm not a fan, but I hate to see them suffer. I hate to see a fan base really, really suffer unless they're Red Sox and Cubs fans. But that's a different story, okay? And I know, Travis, we've wandered into other territory here with you, but that's okay.
You know, Florida State, whatever.
Sorry, to all my Seminole friends.
I think there's a lot of
my
Seminole
wife's a Gator
fans
fan. My wife's a Gator fan.
That's
sorry.
Kind of there an amen on that
yeah,
one as
yep,
well.
Yep. The note about the Cartoon Network that you said.
That was
pretty brutal.
That was horrible. That was somebody texted us in earlier, or maybe it was they told Jenna. I don't know. Somebody sent in the comment and said that tomorrow's game against Syracuse is going to be televised on the Cartoon Network. Which
that hurts.
Even
bad.
I feel bad for people hearing that.
That
so.
Hurts real bad.
But UWF football, this is a really interesting thing because, you know, last week the game got canceled, but this week we're at Delta State. Last week, of course, new team, first year, Fort Lauderdale, whatever. I want them to stay at the Wahoo Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I am eerily adamant that they need to stay at Wahoo Stadium. It's a great venue. It integrates university with downtown. But I know there's always been this, but that's not how universities do, right? Having on campus or close to campus is always the goal. And they did that 2 weeks ago with the home game at the Penn Air Field. Did you guys go? Did you go to that? Okay, I didn't. I hear it was fantastic. Yep. And I'm sure that it was. How important do you think it is for UWF games to still stay at Wahoo Stadium instead of to go on campus?
I think the model of kind of both places works. Mm-hmm. I think
as a backup, especially for conflicting schedules.
Sure, exactly. And you know, having sort of year round sports at the Wahoo Stadium just makes sense. It's a public venue. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the public invested in that. The Wahoos have done a great job running a great program. Why do we not have football games there? Why do we not, you know, we still do the SEC baseball or the, you know, the college baseball games from mm-hmm. time to time. Let's keep it activated. Let's keep it moving. There's no downside to that.
No, I totally agree. And I still think that there's always this challenge of making sure that UWF is tightly connected to Pensacola City and especially downtown, and the less separation there is cognitively between the two of us, the better for both entities. At least, you know, that's my view. Myra, sorry to talk football for a minute and give you nothing to talk about.
Why don't we ask Dr. Saunders to decide that one?
Myra Van Hoos and Travis Peterson, thanks for joining me for the wrap. I appreciate it.
Anytime.